episode 56 of the Deck Tees podcast, brought to you by LegitMTG.com. My name is Erin Campbell. Back on episode 32, I chose to have not one, not two, but three wonderful Magic the Gathering playing ladies on the show to talk about themselves and some random goings-on in the community. 24 episodes later, those same three ladies are back and better than ever. Welcome Amanda, Brittany, and Renee back to the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Erin. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hello.
And you all sound fantastic, I have to say.
Aw, chef.
We try so hard.
Well, it doesn't sound like you try. It sounds pretty effortless, so I'm really glad to have you guys back.
More experience this time.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I have to say that one of the pleasures of having you guys on the last time was it was really nice to see us all become friends after the fact, and we all became Facebook friends, and we all started following each other on Twitter. We got Renee.
One of us made a Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Renee.
You're still my favorite unicorn, Renee.
It's a rhinoceros now. We had this discussion the other day, too.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
So Renee is on Twitter, which is fantastic. And you guys, it seems like you all have moved on to some bigger things since the last time you were on the show. We're just going to go down the list one by one. Renee, you started writing for MTG Bros Deals. Is that correct?
I did.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I do about... I try and get out an article a month just because of my master's program and everything else going on in life. Getting more than that is a little tiring. But I tend to pose a question to the community on Twitter and the groups on Facebook I'm involved with, ask them to spread it around to their local communities. I freely give out my email address and try and get feedback on these items. That way there's kind of this consensus piece on what's going on or what people have experienced within the community. So I've done like relationships and how magic has affected them, families and how they've either grown or been torn apart by magic or even just changed in general. I did one where I got everyone's input on what the worst behaviors in magic were, which was really good and ranty, and I made it very angry, and everyone loved it. So.
I have to say I was nervous when you decided to cover that topic, because I know that with me and my tilting issues, I was waiting for somebody to, like, volunteer me and be like, the worst experience I ever had was with Erin Campbell. Like,
Erin, your tilt, watching you tilt during the SCG was, I didn't know that you had it in you, because you seemed so laid back, and then, like, you were so tilting when you lost, I was like, where's the calm and collected Erin that I know?
Nowhere. She's riding the tilt-a-whirl right now. You'll have to give her a minute.
The illusion was shattered, and I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared.
It's definitely something I'm working on. Like, it's not something I'm proud of, but I want to beat it, and I'm trying to do whatever I can. And it's been interesting hearing people's opinions on it. Like, it's something that I think, I mean, I've said this before, but I feel like a lot of the pros sort of do a bad job of covering it, where anytime a pro or anytime a featured writer decides to write about tilt, it usually just boils down to, well, just don't tilt. And it's like, well, it's not that simple. And I think it is sort of a complex beat. And why people do it and what their triggers are. And I think it's something that really deserves to be talked about and deserves to be elaborated on. And I'm trying to do that with my Tumblr. And I like hearing other people's experiences with it too. And I think it's just something worth talking about. And it's not as simple as just don't do it. So.
Well, one of my next pieces that I'm thinking about writing is on tilting because of a certain experience I had at SCG Open Baltimore, where I was losing, and that's fine. I'm fine with losing, but I am not fine with bad manners. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes me tilt, is when you start reaching across the table and yanking things from my deck box. Or...
What?
Yeah. No, can't deal with that.
Wow.
Nope.
That's crazy. There was a girl at my local game store where she was playing a guy who would put things in her graveyard for her. And she was really put off by that.
Wait.
And I was like, who does that? And that was something I sort of mentioned in passing. And I was surprised by the number of people that were like, it's happened to me too. And I'm like, I've never had anybody just come across my board like that. Like, that's insane.
Oh,
ugh.
biggest issue.
That's not cool. So Amanda, you started writing for, I believe, is it GG Vogue, Gamer Girl Vogue?
Yeah, I started writing for, oh, my mic's not on. Oh, it is. I started writing for Girl Gamer Vogue because one of my friends from college from my journalism program was like, hey, you play that thing Magic the Gathering, right? And I was like, yes, I do. And you like anime and manga. And I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, do you want to write about it? And I was like, sure. So I started writing for Girl Gamer Vogue. We are currently on hiatus due to some personal problems about multitudes of the staff. And currently, because of that, I am now, as we speak, working on my own personal website, and also reading the IPG like a fiend, because I'm testing. Lord. I'm still in the process of testing for L2, folks. Like, that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Which was a thing I was preparing for the last time too.
Now, you wrote an article. I have to say, your biggest article. You did an article about what it's like being a trans gamer, and that article blew up. It was on Reddit. It got a lot of attention.
It was on Reddit.
Yeah.
That Reddit thread was entertaining. it was the nicest I've ever seen a Reddit thread for Magic, because the Magic Reddit is like as Boosh and Scotty Mac say, it's like the armpit of the internet. And my previous experiences of being on like a thread based website, I was also on 4chan once, and that wasn't very fun. So this wasn't my worst experience of the internet. What I didn't like was some people appropriated to the situation as if they were there, and thought that I, like, If you read the article, I bring up a situation that happened to me at GP Providence 2 years ago. It was a legacy GP, and a staff member at the event, while I was waiting for the rest of my team to, like, finish their matches, because I play combo, so, like, I'm either done really quick or I lost really quick. Like, one of the two happens. She walks up to me, and she's like, so, hi, how's your day going? I'm like, oh, hi, oh, it's going good, you know, I'm 3-1, like, I'm doing okay. And she's like, so, why are you dressed that way? Because I was wearing like a nice summer dress, because it was a summer GP and it was like 98 degrees. And I'm in a room with like 700 Magic players. And even with AC, it's still 90 degrees inside the venue. And I'm like, dressed what way? And she's like, well, you know, we have this player that comes to our store that wears wigs or sombreros to put their opponents on tilt. Is that why you're wearing a dress? And I was like, excuse me? I was like, hey, that's not an appropriate thing to just randomly come up to someone and talk about. And a lot of people on the Reddit thread decided that me responding, which I didn't even get agitated, and I say it in the article that I didn't get agitated with her, I was just slightly miffed. They're like, well, oh, are you, like, people were like, well, oh, you said you wear a sundress. Don't you realize that you have broad shoulders and that, like, that's not a very flattering thing for you? And I'm like, have you seen me in my red sundress? I look hot as hell. Like, I don't know what you're thinking about. And then a bunch of other people were like, well, oh, maybe, and then some people heard staff and assumed judge. Mm-hmm. And seeing as how, like, I'm fairly well known in the area, that like people who read my articles know that I'm an L1. Like, I think I mentioned it in the article. They should have known that if I was going to say judge, I would have said judge. Yeah. So some people were like, oh, what if there's like a rule about like inappropriate clothing? And I was like, how is a red sundress blue Converses? And I was like, how is that not appropriate dress? So like, overall, I'm happy that I had an article that has, I think I'm at like 11,000 views right now.
Jesus.
Some crazy number like that. I don't know. I stopped looking every day. And I'm really happy that like it kind of happened, because my a friend of mine who writes over at Gathering Magic, Mr. Mike Linneman, decided to put it on Reddit without telling me, which is why I was really shocked when I looked at it and it had 50 views, and I looked at it in the middle of the day and it had like 500. And I looked later and it went up to like 1,200. I was like, the hell's going on? Why is it at 1,200 views? Because that's like the mass amount of how many views we get maybe in a week on the website. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, I put it on Reddit. And I was like, oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. So it was a good experience overall.
Yeah, I tend to avoid Reddit and 4chan. Like, there are people, like, I love Natasha dearly, Natasha Harrington. She loves Reddit, and she's always finding these.
I can't get along with her about it. Like, she tries to convert me.
Where is she always, and somehow she's one of those people who can find these really life-affirming, you know, threads on Reddit that make you want to reconsider. But I have a metaphor for going through Reddit. I basically compare Reddit to looking for a Fendi purse at Goodwill, where if you dig hard enough, yeah, you might find that really great find, but most of the time you're just finding crap. And I know very little about Reddit. I don't plug my own show on Reddit. I just don't even go there, like, from what I've seen. And I think the only, are they subreddit? I don't even know what it's called. Like, I don't, the only.
There's Reddit and subreddit.
Okay, the only parts of Reddit that I will frequent is the Pretty Little Liars section. And then the RuPaul's Drag Race section. Those are, like, the safest Reddits I'm in. Like, they're the most positive. There's really not a lot of ugliness. And those are sort of my safe spaces in Reddit. But if you, you know, the wow part, no. Magic part, no. I don't even want to go near it because I don't want to get any of that on me. Like, I can't relate to people when they say, you know, there's good things to be had there. Well, I just can't do it.
And I am a Reddit addict.
Yeah, and I think even you've, you know, found some positive things and tried sharing them. And you just, like I said, you might just have that luck of when you go digging through, you know, you find stuff.
It really depends on what subreddits you're on. Like, really just depends on the community. Some of them are more support group type things for people who might not be able to get there physically or just don't have the courage to take that step yet. So, you know, you can definitely find them if that's what you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely. And Brittany, you decided that you were going to try streaming since the last time you were on the show. How's that going for you?
Incredibly poorly because I have this thing called work, and for the longest time we had no people, and now we have too many people. So I went from, not having the time to stream but having the money, to almost having the time but having no money whatsoever since we share a tip pool. Mm-hmm. So that's been fun. But the good news about it is I finally got my schedule changed after a year of being there. I now have not only Sunday, but also Saturday off.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I know, right?
So once you have the money, you can actually go to GPs and stuff.
I know. You can finally get me to go to DC like you were so upset that I'm not going to.
But I mean, let's not talk about it. My heart's already broken.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll talk about it later.
Tears.
I know. But I was going to say, everything's so interesting with you guys, and I'm sitting here like, ooh, Waste Not made it to the semifinals of the You Make the Card for. Like, my whole magic life has certainly been on hiatus. It hasn't been as exciting as it has been for you ladies, but, you know, I have been studying. I do have a PTQ coming up this Saturday. I judged it's a Star City Open qualifier, open invitation, right. Some convoluted words of open and invitational and qualifier, and just smash them all together, and whatever bits baby comes out, that's the name of what it was. And judge that, the store got up to advanced level, so now they can start hosting GPTs and things of that nature, so we are going to get that going, and I'm so happy to be back in the judge saddle. Hopefully, if they'll let me test for L2, this is a very big if, but if they let me test for L2, I would hope that I'd have a pretty good chance of passing it. So,
cool.
We will see. I don't know. I don't even know in my region if there are any female L2s. To be honest with you, there may be.
I think you have like a few. Maybe.
I think there's a handful. I think there may. If there are any, I believe it's around 4. Mm-hmm. I think. Because when I think of region, I'm just like, well, Florida's big enough to be its own region. Florida has a very good judge program that I have behind me here. So I know. You know, we're talking about that earlier. Amanda's like, well, you live in, from what I hear, like the stone nuts of just judging activity. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much true. It's like, you know, I don't know if you read about Justin Turner and his article for being Judge of the Week, but it's all true. Mm-hmm. It's all true.
I have to give you a lot of credit for going the streaming route, because I feel like that's one of those things that there's less of a set way to go about it. Like, if you want to start a blog, there's a lot of resources you can go to, and there's a lot of people you can talk to, and there's a sort of path you can take to that. And the same kind of goes for podcasting. But like, if you were to ask me, Aaron, how do I start streaming? It seems tricky to me, where it's like, you have to have the computer for it. It's my understanding, you still have to have the personality for it. Like, you can't be somebody who just does. Like, you have to have that balance of, you know, playing, like being entertaining to watch, but being entertaining to sort of listen to, and juggling all those things. And I wouldn't even know how to do that. So I commend you for trying.
Thank you. The biggest piece of advice I gave to people, because a couple people asked me after seeing it, they're like, oh, Brittany, you know, your stream's been going, you know, pretty well. There was the deal that I had with MTG Card Market for a while there, but I haven't really talked to them lately because I'm like, you know, I haven't been streaming, so just kind of kick me off the wagon for a second. I'll get back on as soon as work stops, you know, absolutely sucking. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing you have to do is just don't forget your audience, because there are people I see who stream and play very well, but what's the point of having an audience there with you or having your chat up on the screen if you're not going to interact with it whatsoever? Mm-hmm. Like, if people want to watch the chat, they can watch the chat while they're watching and talk to each other then.
Yeah.
I mean, in the replay, people don't care as much about the chat if you're not interacting with it and taking their advice. So you definitely need to have the personality for it. I mean, my dad used to always tell me jokingly, like, yeah, Britt, you definitely have the face for radio. And so it's one thing getting just, you know, you have to eventually get over the fact that these people are watching you play and criticizing your every move, and along with your move they can be like, oh, and you have a hair out of place, or oh, your lip gloss is like off. Like, you just have to deal with people being people. But it's no different than seeing them at tournaments or being at Friday Night Magic and your friends watching you play, and afterwards they're like, hey, you did all right, but you could have done this laundry list of things differently, and I hope you feel like crap now for not doing any of these suggestions. So,
yeah, that was something I got sucked into. I started streaming very briefly a while ago, and it wasn't meant to like be a streamer. It was just one of those things where like I would do an event and I'd be like, hey, come watch me play Magic. Like, it wasn't anything I had any serious aspiration towards. But I found that was the problem I had, is I would get too sucked into the chat, especially because I was still learning how to play the game and still learning how to get better and tightening my game a little bit. And I was playing Kibler's Ooze deck, and people would say, you know, here's what you should do on this turn. You should maybe play this instead of this. And, you know, Magic Online has that damn timer. So between me having a delay in sending and receiving messages, so somebody would say, you know, tap your mana here, do this. And I'd be like, but what if I put my mana here? And then if I and the timer's going down, And I wasn't able to juggle both things. And so I paid too much attention to what the chat was saying. Or I would do something and then look at the chat and it turns out to be the wrong thing to do, and I'd feel really bad about it. I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have. Oh, I'm so bad at this game. And then again, the timer's going, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I always put up the warning that I even started calling it casual corner. I'm like, listen, when I first brought a Gruul Aggro, I'm like, listen, this is an explicit warning. I am learning this deck. I am getting into standard. I'm the girl who sits there and just freaking goldfishes Imperial Painter until my fingers fall off. So I'm like, I don't know standard. I have no idea what's going on in your format right now. This is me trying to learn. And if you just let people know who you are and why you're doing it, they're much more understanding. If I was like, oh, I'm the best Gruul player, rah, 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 and I just Succosaurus Rex out there, you know, they're not going to watch. But if you're like, hey, I'm new, I'm trying to get into this, come help me learn this deck, people get really into that, because the more they feel that they're a part of what's going on and they feel that they're an integral part of the stream, they're going to keep coming back. They're going to love you. They're going to want more of it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it has to be a nice change of pace from when you're on a pro stream where, you know, you're there. They definitely want you there. They definitely want the viewers, but they might not necessarily be listening to what you're saying because they are Sam Black or they are Anthony Lowry and they're very good at what they do. And then, you know, if you're watching somebody new, you know, your opinion more likely matters. I think that might be appealing to some people. So that's just me. So all right, so let's go ahead and get started. I would imagine you guys have a lot to say, and I look forward to hearing it. So let's kick things off. Last time you guys were on the show, we talked about our friend Brian Kibler and some complaints that he had at the time. And I believe Brittany was the one who said cry more.
that sounds pretty much like something I would have said. I like Kibler. He's a great guy. Yeah, I like Kibler. He's a great guy. It's a little more of a crime situation, though.
And Kibler sort of was at it again. He made a comment on Twitter the other day that he doesn't enjoy going to CLGPs after GP Oakland, and basically insinuated that they were not worth his time. A short time after that, Chapin chimed in. I think Conley Woods chimed in. Some other pros chimed in and said that they agreed with him. Do the pros have a point? Are CLGPs less fun, or is it them just complaining as usual? Brittany, kick this off.
Cry more, I guess.
The end.
I know, right? Done. Podcast over. No. The way I look at it, especially from my point of view, I love limited, especially as a person who can't really afford to get into Magic. I think these professional players don't realize that just monetary efforts to try and get into the game, theirs is met either through their own personal work life. A lot of these guys are older, most of them late 20s, early 30s. So, you know, they're established. They can play Magic. They have this bankroll behind them through themselves or sponsorships, what have you. But for people like me, where I just go in and I'm like, hey, I want to play Magic, but I can't afford standard and pay freaking $600 for a mid-range, you know, sort of you win, you lose sometimes deck when I got bills. So going to a limited event, I can go in, it's an even playing level, and for me it feels like, you know, I don't have to bring cards, I can't just buy the Delver deck and try and face roll with it. I'm given these cards and I have to do the best with what I'm given without having the responsibility of having hundreds of dollars behind it. So for me, you know, if it's a waste of their time, don't go. If it's a waste of your time, whatever, doesn't matter. There are people who it's not a waste of their time. And, you know, they don't have to have as many limited events, but for Wizards to try and move away from limited, I think is going to be horrible for them in the long run, simply because of players like me who say, hey, I want to play, I love this format, you know, what if they said, I hate modern, modern is terrible, let's get rid of modern, you know, it's still a respectable format no matter what, and they just need to realize that they are the professionals, but without the casual players going to events like that, there's not going to be events, period.
Amanda, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm not going to play devil's advocate. I always find it entertaining when a pro gets on Twitter and starts... Because, like, I know for a fact, like, PV infinitely talks about how much he hates Modern and how much he hates, you know, playing Modern, and then goes to Modern GPs. Like, it's entertaining to me. He's like, oh, Modern's such a terrible format. And then, like, if PV can get to a Modern GP, he's at a Modern GP, so...
Is that because he has
whatever.
To?
Whatever.
Like, could he afford to miss them?
I mean, he's in the Pro Tour Hall of Fame now.
Okay.
He just goes and, like, it's a paycheck.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, I think one of the things that we forget is that, like, I have a Twitter, and sometimes I'm like, man, Dunkin' Donuts sucks. It doesn't mean that I'm, like, telling people that they shouldn't go to Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. It just means that, like, I particularly sometimes am of the opinion that, like, going to Dunkin' Donuts is not value.
Right.
And I think that that's all, like, Kibler and the other pros were saying. I don't think that they were, like, saying, like, we should get rid of CLGPs. I just think that they were like, okay, I spend money to fly out to this event, and I get this really shitty poll, and then I don't day two. And that's, like, they're not going, like, some of us are going to GPs for, like, the fun of the aspect.
Yeah.
Like, the seeing friends, the, like, the festival feel of it. You know, there's so many vendors, there's so many things you can do, meeting new people. This is kind of their job. They're not going for the, like, super fun of it. They're going to, you know, day two and hopefully top eight win, hit their next pro point threshold, whatever they're looking for. And for some pros, like, they're not limited specialists. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Ben Stark isn't complaining about a sealed or limited GP. Like, there are, Melissa DeTora is not complaining about a limited GP.
Not at all.
Like, there are pros who are like, let's keep our limited GPs. But if we look at the players who are like saying how much they aren't excited for a sealed GP, some of them are not that great, like, limited players. So I think it was just pros going, like, yeah, this format's, like, really not my specialty. Not so much of, hey, WotC, like, let's go ahead and get rid of Sealed as a GP format.
Mm-hmm. Renee, what did you think about that?
I don't really have a problem with what they said, mm-hmm. because I am not a limited person.
Okay.
I go to some limited GPs if they're within traveling distance or there's a bunch of people going and we can all kind of split a hotel room or something. But I never necessarily expect to do well. I'll collect the cards that I get for the entry fee because, well, I may as well fill in the holes while I'm there and then use them in a standard deck and go grind out the rest of the weekend if I scrub. Mm-hmm. And I get more value out of that. And like Amanda said, going and seeing friends, visiting the artists, like I now have a hallway full of art, prints. Mm-hmm. That I have framed because I just love visiting the artists. I have Noah Bradley in my hallway every time I walk in.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome. And, you know, get cards signed. The husband and I are currently culling through all the cards and trying to bulk them out. So we go to GPs more for that kind of stuff, especially limited ones. I'm definitely more of a standard player. That is more of my specialty. I would enjoy limited GPs if there was more drafting involved. Mm-hmm. But I also realize that it is completely impossible to have somewhere between 1,500 to 2,500 people drafting all at the same time. Like, that's just not logical.
Right.
Coming from a judging perspective, I think I'd cry if I had to judge that.
Exactly, and I don't want to make you guys cry. I love you guys.
I was going to say, I had a slight heart attack at the mention. I'm sitting here, I go silent. I'm like, wait, how big is the...
I have to say, I enjoy the idea of the sealed GPs because I feel like going back to what Brittany said, it makes skills other than showing up with a deck that you've already made and that you have four of. It emphasizes deck building. And let's be honest, deck building is something a lot of people aren't good at. And I've said it before, but I also feel like when you play something like sealed, you have to have an eye for that kind of thing. So like, you know, if you hand somebody like me who's still getting better at sealed, you know, so many packs, and then you have a pool in front of you, someone can look at that pool and go, okay, great, I'm going to play this, 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 and this. Bam, I'm done. Whereas somebody like me, I don't have that eye for it. So I'm not going to see what they see. So I may play like green, white beats, and somebody else would be like, you had the cards to be black, red. Why didn't you go there? And I just don't have that eye for that. And that's something that I feel I need to work on. And I think that's a skill that not everybody has. Like, you can be good at magic, but you may not be good necessarily at deck building. And I like the idea of having the pros, you know, be good at something other than what they're used to. And what you learn from that. Like, for example, I learned to play Team Trios the other day when I was at Gen Con, which is the 3v3. And that requires different skills and different levels of communication. And people that aren't used to that may be like, this is kind of hard. I don't like this. But other people that are good at those skills are going to really enjoy that format. And I think it's just a matter of going outside your comfort zone and seeing people be good without having to rely on what they're used to. So I'd like to see more odd formats personally, but that's just me. So another thing I wanted to talk about, this one's a bit more polarizing, but I think it's something that's affected us all a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Most of us, I believe, belong to a group on Facebook called Ladies of MTG. Is that right?
Yes, we're all
on there. Yes.
Okay. And the other day, there was a woman in the group, and she had mentioned that she was trying to get a playmat commissioned for somebody, and she'd been working with the artist, and she found out that the artist was only going to work for her if she agreed to send him nudes, if I understand correctly. And we were, of course, very upset about this. We wanted to know what was going on. We wanted to know who it was so that we could not patronize this person in the future, and she chose to not say who this person was. In the last couple of weeks, there was the Medina fiasco, where Medina stepped away from legit MTG, and everybody started picking on Heather and thought that Heather was the cause of it, and Heather started getting death threats and terrible DMs and things of that nature. And of course, we were all very upset, and we wanted to know who these people were, and we wanted to know who we should be ignoring and who we should be unfollowing, and Heather also chose to not reveal these people's names. What do you think of not shaming people? Like, when people do something wrong and these people choose to not out them, do you think that's the best course of action? Amanda, what do you think about that?
I'm so glad that I'm in my TA mindset because I raised my hand and then like forgot that we have a code word to use in the chat. I was just like raising my hand. So I actually talk a lot about this. I talk a bit about this in a judge seminar that I do on making stores a more inclusive environment. I understand why people don't immediately name names. When you shame someone, you isolate them out of the community, and nobody, like, if you've ever been isolated out of a group of friends or isolated out of anything, or, you know, you were, like, the loner kid, you know that it's, like, not fun to not be the person, to be the person that, like, everybody doesn't want to be around. Sure. And so, like, creating, like, a public, like, lynch mob doesn't really actually do anything. It makes that person bitter. It doesn't make them want to change their behavior. Like, they're less inclined to want to improve on that behavior. Now, if I send this person, like, especially with the playmat incident, if I send her a private message, I'm like, hey, you know, I talk to a lot of artists. I do get a lot of custom playmats made, both hand-drawn and through ink playmats and whatever. I would like to know who this artist is, because, like, I'm not going to support someone who's, like, that unprofessional. And if she then, on that case, like, was just like, look, I'm not telling you who this person is, then I have a problem. But keeping the, like, public lynch mob away, I'm, like, super, super down for. I want, like, I like a setting where, like, we discuss things like adults, and we explain why that behavior is inappropriate, as opposed to, like, you're wrong for this behavior, and now you go get to sit in the corner, and we get to be the cool kids at the lunch table, and you get to be the kids who, like, have to sit next to the bathroom door.
Mm-hmm. Renee, what do you think about that?
I agree with not publicly putting people out there. I don't remember what event it was, but this woman, I think she was a game developer, somebody in the computer science type field, and she actually posted a picture of two people at this conference with her who were making jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got fired. She got fired. People associated with them got fired. The con was blamed. Like, it tumbles out of control too quickly. I am a really big advocate of, if you have a problem, try and solve it internally first. Mm-hmm. And then go and get help. Of course, if you're in an unsafe situation, get help and then solve it without making, you know, a lot of huge issues. But essentially three lives were disrupted because of this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that. I want to see progress in how people think of all kinds of different players in Magic and other games. I want to see social inequalities changed and fixed and whatever. But I don't want to see people destroyed because of it either.
Mm-hmm. Brittany, do you think there's something to be said for the fact that not shaming these people, or not even, maybe even the word shaming is wrong, but by not outing these people and by not calling them out for doing these things, that we're enabling the behavior, that we're encouraging them to misbehave like that? Do you think there's anything to be said about that?
I don't think it necessarily fosters the behavior, in a sense. I don't think it's going to enable the behavior to grow more so than it actually would have anyway. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those, when you look at it, you know, a cheetah can't change its spots sort of deals. If the person's going to act like that, they're going to act like that even if you shame them. Sure, they may stop acting like that for a little bit, but are they really going to turn around because of it? In most cases, people don't change that drastically. Mm-hmm. Like Amanda said, sometimes you don't want to start a witch hunt on people. And I think we're not realizing that most of the time we don't know the full side of every story.
Right.
In that particular case, it was, you know, one thing. And in Heather's case, we knew most of the side of the story because she discussed it with us. But sometimes you see cases of people getting up and saying, oh, well, this person did this to me, and this person's terrible, and, you know, this person deserves to rot in purgatory for the rest of their life. They don't even deserve hell. You know, they don't get a choice. Just float around for a little bit. No. But then it comes to light that, well, you know, the way you were talking to them did sound a bit flirtatious, or, you know, you did say this to them on one occasion and then completely 360'd the attitude you were having toward them. So, I mean, if you shame them and you put that out there and you're wrong, you know, it kind of follows the principle of better to let, you know, 100 guilty men go free than execute one innocent person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't help but feel like when the Heather thing was going down, and I love Heather dearly, like we know each other personally, we have each other's phone numbers and things like that, and I don't know, there was a part of me that felt like that she had become more of a magnet for that because she is so nice and she is so loving and she wouldn't do that, you know, and I think people knew that. And I do worry that people took advantage of that, where they knew that they could say whatever they wanted to her and that she wasn't going to say anything and that she wasn't going to do anything. And she did unfollow them and she did, you know, take steps privately, but I can't help but feel like, and again, I'm not saying she did anything to deserve this at all because what she experienced was completely terrible, but I can't help but feel like if she had had a different personality or she wasn't her, you know, that maybe she wouldn't have, you know, received that intense level of backlash that she'd received, that, you know, if people had that idea, oh God, she's totally going to rat me out, maybe they wouldn't have said that. And I feel like a lot of people took advantage of her kindness in that situation.
I enjoy people on the internet. I honestly, like when I heard that Magina was, had cheated on his wife, Heather was not the first person that I thought of, even if, like, that was even a remote possibility, because they clearly talk about how they haven't met each other. Like, Medina has brought it up on the A-Team, because, like, that was one of the reasons why he was kind of sad he wasn't going to GP Vegas, was he, like, said, like, oh, I'm not going to Vegas, guys, and he's like, you know, I was really excited to actually finally meet Heather. Like, that should have been the red flag number one for people. And also, I don't know. Do you guys listen to the A-Team?
I do, yeah.
Rit?
No, I don't listen to most podcasts because I have no life. And Renee? I'm technologically challenged.
Occasionally, when it's not obnoxious.
So Aaron and Renee, did you hear the Medina, like, farewell episode?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys get to see the comment thread in the farewell episode where, like, one guy tried to psychoanalyze Medina and Heather's relationship?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I don't even watch that, and I don't listen to that, and I saw that. That's how widespread that was.
Situations like that, that was my biggest pet peeve about the whole situation. It had, like, less to do about, like, yes, I felt really bad that, like, people were blaming Heather for something that, like, was pretty obvious it wasn't her fault. But that some people, like, have the gall to go, like, you are a public person, so I think it's okay for me to talk about you in a very public forum and psychoanalyze you and just make all of these, like, very raw dog assumptions about people. And that was a little unsettling. And I was pretty happy that, for the most part, nobody jumped on his bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Like, people jumped on the, like, oh, you know, this is why we thought it was Heather bandwagon, but no one jumped on the, this is okay, to psychoanalyze people and talk about, like, how Heather is this woman who, obviously, you can tell by the way she is that she's just so eager to please people. And I was like, what? He's her boss. Of course she wants him to be happy and do good work. Like, who goes to a job and doesn't want to do a good job? If that's what you're doing at your job and you're working in Magic the Gathering, like, you're obviously doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Renee, did you have something to add to that?
I think people are awful and we're really bad at being human beings. And I really think we just need to give up and let our cat overlords take over the planet.
It would all be so simple if we just listened to cats.
You know, yeah, my cats are so knowledgeable. I'm sure they'd run my life better than I can.
Brittany, what did you want to add?
I just kind of wanted to add, going back to the whole people picking on Heather thing, it was kind of like when Cedric pointed out, you know, why is everyone being a jerk to Todd Anderson?
Yeah.
I think that was the person who was being picked on, and they're like, you know, it's so cool to be on this making fun of Todd Anderson bandwagon when I met the guy. Like, he was the sweetest person I met at GP Miami. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything. He just signed my playmat and he talked to me a little bit and he was a gentleman and so nice. And when I saw all these people making fun of him, it's like, what? Is it because of where he comes from? Like, are we going to assume he's stupid or less capable than any of us because he's from a southern state? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm from Florida, and we're not a southern state at all. Right. Not down here, we're not a southern state by their terms. But
I don't know. You guys have some crazy things going on. Like, there's actually a Twitter account called, I think, That Florida Guy.
Florida Man.
Right, and there's some craziness there.
It's so funny. It's so funny. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at what happened to Todd, because we're sitting here saying, you know, all these girls are having terrible things happen to them, it's not just women in the magic community who are constantly being crapped on, so to say. It's a lot of guys, especially high-profile guys lately, people have been just wailing on them for no particular reason, and that really, you know, needs to stop as well.
You did say something interesting that I kind of want to bring up again. You, when you were describing Todd Anderson, Brittany, you said he's a nice guy, and there's a part of me that feels, I mean, do you feel that that's the reason why people come for him? Is because, again, he's not going to retaliate. He's not somebody that's going to call you on your shit if you mess with him, you know, too much. Do you think that that does sort of attract people to want to start stuff with them or be harder on them?
Oh, of course it does. When I first started my job, people didn't think I had the capacity to, like, curse. Mm-hmm. Like, they thought that I was just this sweet, tiny, innocent little 5'2" angel, like, floating around this poker room. And, you know, people would constantly give me more and more crap. Like, I noticed as time was going on, they'd either, you know, say meaner things or their jokes would become less funny and more harsh. So finally, I just gave up and I put my foot down and I'm like, guys, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm a person. I have feelings. I have the right to not be harassed by you guys. Mm-hmm. Followed by there was a few more choice words thrown in there that I'm not going to give you a mature rating on your podcast for.
I already have one.
yeah, but you know, it's, you know, we're ladies here.
Sure.
We're ladies. but the same things happened with Todd. Like, when I met him, you know, I automatically thought, oh God, I see why people might have taken advantage of him, because he was just sweet as peas, and people like that tend to get taken advantage of, because if people aren't going to stand up for themselves, it's incredibly easy to walk over them. Mm-hmm. At least that's what a lot of people in the magic community seem to think from the people I have personally interacted with before.
Amanda, what do you think about that?
I mean, I kind of disagree in a standpoint, because everyone talks about how, like, Superman nice Reed Duke is, and no one I've ever seen talks any shit about Reed Duke.
Yeah, like, have you seen
ever.
His hair? You can't.
I mean,
insults don't get to that brain. They have to get through the hair first. That beautiful, beautiful hair.
I mean, but the other thing is like, Todd Anderson is a cool guy. I've lent him cards at SCGs before. I get them back without having to, like, go and find him for them. So he's a cool dude. But I mean, like, Todd Anderson is somewhat, like, I don't know him personally, but he has made some very, very cocky statements before. And that's what put the target on his back. If you remember when he won the Invitational, I think it was last year, he said that he felt that the Invitational was harder than a Pro Tour.
I didn't catch that, no.
He said that he made a statement that got him, like, that got a lot of pros, like, really talking smack about him, where he literally said that playing the Star City Games Invitational, he felt, was much harder than playing in a Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. And he said other things of that nature, and that's kind of painted a target on his back. And so when you've got the guy who's, like, super cocky and kind of nice, like, that's who people are going to gravitate to. So it does partially have to do with being nice, but he has said some pretty cocky as all hell things before.
But I think we all say things, I think going back to the Kibler on Twitter thing, I think we've all said things that could possibly put targets on us. I know myself especially, I vomit at the mouth all the time, but, you know, I think that I think that doesn't mean that that lets people be open season on you, or that something you said, you know, a year ago at midnight when you were out of caffeine and really tired, you know, means that you deserve that. And
I'm not saying he deserves
right.
it. I'm just, like, creating a context.
Yeah.
Like, he said this during an interview at the event. This wasn't like, or he said it at the event, or he said it in an article afterwards. This wasn't like something that he, like, you know, fever dream tweet. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, guys, by the way, you know I just won the Invitational and all, but, like, guys, the Invitational is so much harder than a Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. Coming from a guy who hadn't won a Pro Tour.
Right.
So it's like, so a lot of pros felt like he just said that the Pro Tour is easy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the pro community is not going to, like, be super excited for someone to say that.
Sure.
And that's what that's what's kind of put him at odds with some pros.
Yeah.
That's just the understanding I've come across from.
I have to say this one factor about being a pro that I don't think I could ever be okay with is just the, you know, whether or not they realize it or not. I remember when I had Finkel on my show and he seemed very perplexed by the idea of pros maintaining an image, and he didn't seem to really understand the concept, which I found kind of ironic. but, you know, the fact of being a pro player and then having to watch what you say like that and having, you know, anything possibly come back to haunt you, I don't think I could ever be okay with that, just having to constantly think about what I'm saying and worry that it's going to come back and worry that people might turn on me. And that's something I think people don't think about when you do hit that stride, that you do sort of become a community property like that, and people say whatever they want about you, and you do sort of find yourself under the microscope, and you have to be that much more careful of what you say. Like, I don't think I could handle that well.
Cat overlords are the answer. that's all I'm getting from this. Our cat overlords are the answer.
That's true. That's, I mean, just,
they can write our tweets. They, you know, they can conduct our interviews for us. They can take over all the streaming and casting jobs. I'm cool. I'm set. Here you go, cats. Here are the keys to my apartment. You have thumbs. Figure out how to use
them. And they won't eat your couch. I seem to recall we had a problem with the last time we were recording. Didn't you say one of your dogs ate your couch?
That was
Brittany. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, that was
it.
You. Okay.
Yeah.
Brittany's like, can we not? Can we talk about something besides my dog?
She's recording from her duct taped couch.
First off, it's the chair. Oh. Second off, I don't have to sit on the tape on this one.
Ooh, I just imagine her like trying to get up when the interview's done. Like, thanks for having me. Oh. Like, peel the strip off her leg.
I know.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about, or one of the last things, I came upon this interesting little thread when I was bored at work controlling the MTG Salvation boards, and it talked about, and the original poster is admittedly a germaphobe, and he said that he doesn't like to shake people's hands, and he wanted to know if it would be better if he told somebody up front when they offered him a handshake if he's a germaphobe and if he has this issue, or if it's something where he should just shake their hand and then immediately put some sanitizer on his hands. And the thread's about 4 pages deep, and I thought there was some interesting discussion there. Renee, if you were talking to this gentleman or this woman, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
I have some really weird food allergies, okay. So I try not to shake hands too often because I don't know what you've been touching and I don't know how I'm going to react.
Really?
Yes, fish oil, a lot of citrus fruits, those kinds of things.
Wow.
Like we said, I'm falling apart. And I am okay with this. My cat overlord is now on my lap, keeping me safe.
You are MTG's answer to Bubble Girl.
Yes. And this issue has come up in the past for me where I had somebody who actually went to go shuffle my deck, and I'm reading the bag that's sitting next to them, and it's like shrimp fries or something like that.
Ugh.
And my worst allergy is fish oil or anything seafood-wise. So I'm like, wait, before you touch my deck, and my husband comes over and starts to read the back of the package, and he had a buy, thankfully, and he's like, do you mind if I sit here and hand you any cards that you need to read? Because she may die if you touch her stuff. Mm. And I couldn't shake this guy's hand, and he continued to sit there and eat these things.
Are we talking, like, actual fries? Like, fries?
Like, they were, like, crispy things. It was a Japanese snack food.
More like potato chips?
Kind of.
Okay. I'm just imagining, like, greasy fries. Like, who would eat that in an event while they're playing? Like,
we were traveling.
They're like a crispy chip. Like, have you ever had calamari?
Yeah.
It's like calamari, except in a bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's just like fried calamari in a bag, except it's like deep fried. So it's just like a nice crisp thing that you can package sealed, or sometimes it's dry freezed.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So, I eat a lot of Asian food.
I normally do too, except for things that have anything with the word fish on them. But, you know, my husband had to cut the deck for him. Any card that he wanted to read, my husband would bring up on Oracle text on his phone. It was kind of ridiculous. And afterward, the guy extended his hand, and I kind of looked at him, and I was like, I'm sorry, but if you couldn't touch my deck, what makes you think I'm going to touch you? And he kind of was a taken back for a moment, and I think it may have just been me tired from driving and then going to F&M in a new place. But I can definitely relate to somebody who doesn't want to touch other people. Mm-hmm. Phobias are just as much a medical condition as allergies. Granted, they're normally a medical condition you can work through, but we don't know this guy's background or his capability or anything else. So who knows if this person has the funds to pay for therapy to get over this or do anything else. I would not be offended if somebody in the beginning of the match was like, hey, you know, I don't mind you cutting the deck and doing those kinds of steps, but, you know, please just don't touch me. I'm fine with not touching people. I prefer not to touch people. I also don't like people coming over and touching my thing. So even if you want to cut your own deck, I'm cool with that for the most part too. Just tell me what you're doing ahead of time. That way when it happens, I'm not looking at you like you've just broken etiquette. What are you, you weird thing that breaks tournament etiquette? No, this isn't how it works. So I can definitely sympathize, and I feel that the people who are like, just get over your phobia, really don't understand what a phobia is.
Do you think that you would still be as sensitive to people touching your things and touching you, Renee, if you didn't have this allergy?
Maybe, because I'm kind of, I'm private and kind of, you know, I like to be in my bubble.
I want to see the feature match. Like, let's say you go to an SCG event and you're on camera and there's just this huge bubble around you and you're playing and the table's in front of you and you put your hands through those gloves to like come out of the bubble. I think that'd be fantastic. I would watch the shit out of that.
I actually had people comment on how like they almost see this invisible bubble around me with just how I create my space. Mm-hmm. Between walking through crowds or standing in line, like I just apparently give off this vibe to stay like 10 feet away from me, and I'm okay with that.
You get that too?
I do.
Okay. I get that all the time. I get accused of what's called bitch face, which is, I guess, a thing where you just your resting position or your resting face gives off a vibe, I guess. And a friend of mine who I have this very love-hate relationship with, she started calling me Princess Bitch Face. And it's something I own and I'm fine with it, but I understand that. I've been accused of that as well, that I create a
I have that face of just I'm just thinking like there's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad or good. I'm just here. Yeah. What is wrong with this being here?
Amanda, what do you think of our friend, the germaphobe?
I mean, to be honest, if I shook someone's hand and their immediate reaction afterwards was to then put hand sanitizer on, I think I would be just a little personally hurt. I wouldn't even be mad at him. I would be like, I'd start looking at my armpit being like,
am I crazy?
Am I one of those magic players now? Like, the ones that I am an NC fun of? Like, oh, no, I'm good, so it's him. And then I'd be like, all right, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. So, like, I would just, like, if a player says to me, like, hey, I don't want to shake your hand, as long as he's polite about it, he's not just like, I'm not going to shake your hand, man. Like, I'd be a little upset with him because I consider that a little unsporting. But if he was just like, look, I don't shake hands, you know, great match, or, you know, good luck or something like that, I think that's fine. Like, I don't really shake hands at the end of matches myself. It's not, like, a germ thing. It's a me thing. I'm not a big handshaker. I give people fist bumps when I see them. I'm not the whole grab someone's hand and move our arms up and down type thing. That just seems like a weird thing to me. I'm also, when I'm on tilt, my way of expressing that I am on tilt is that I am very adamant in not shaking your hand. Like, if I am not on tilt and you extend the handshake, I will shake it out of, like, respect, but I never initiate the handshake. Right. But if I'm on tilt and you extend the hand, I'll just put my hand to my head and just be like, good match, and just salute the person. I'm like, you have a good day.
Yeah.
And then that's my way of trying to tell him, look, you don't want to, I might break your hand instead of just, like, shaking it.
Yeah, I do that, too.
So that's just, like, my personal opinion. I'm not, like, I'm also not a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. But if, like, if someone legit is just like, hey, look, I'm not a handshaker, I think people should respect that because I'm not one. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, because I'm a judge, I also try to, like, be nicer even when I'm a player. So that no one can be like, oh, that judge got, like, a huge stick up her ass. So that's why I usually accept handshakes when they come my way, which is why I need to work on my tilt, because, like, a player came up to me when I was judging and was like, you have some pretty bad tilt sometimes. I'm like, yeah, it happens when you're playing Blue-White Miracles and I'm playing Elves and Legacy. Like, I just can't help but be salty when you land Counterbalance and Sensei's Divining Top. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Something about not casting spells seems really unfun to me.
What? You don't like casting spells? Or you don't not like casting spells? What's wrong with you?
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Although one player at the Legacy Open at the Invitational in New Jersey recently, me and him had, like, the best match ever. I went to Crozen Grip his Counterbalance, and he blind flips a Vendilion Click. And we made such a ruckus over the event that judges came over to tell us to, you know, like, relax. Mm-hmm. Like, we took pictures and tweeted the whole thing. We were, like, super excited that I was less excited about my Crozen Grip getting countered on a blind flip. He was super excited from the standpoint that, like, he thought he was about to lose the match. Mm-hmm. So, like, Counterbalance and me can still be friends sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Amanda, on, you know, the expectation for having to shake somebody's hand being too soon. I know the way that I deal with it is usually if I'm tilting, I will just politely say no thank you. And even that has gotten me some flack, where I feel that I handled that as well as I could, and I was as polite as I could. And even going back to the Ladies of MTG group, I seem to recall bringing that up once when I first joined the group. And even when I said that I handled it like that, people were still like, that's unacceptable. You have to shake their hand. And I just don't understand that, like how that's become a really big expectation now. Brittany, what do you think about that? Is that something we need to be doing?
I mean, I'm the type of person where when I was watching StarCraft, I'd just completely eat up all this, oh, Idris, so BM stuff that was going on with it.
What is that?
There was this player, Idra, who used to play for Evil Geniuses, and BM was the shorthand for bad mannered. Mm-hmm. So I'm the type of person where I will always shake someone's hand no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's just how I am. And I've actually caught a lot of flack from people because when I would stream, I would always say GG no matter if I was the winner or the loser. And people are like, oh, you just raffle stomped this guy and you're telling him GG? What kind of sick monster are you getting pleasure out of this? And I'd say, you know, no, guys, it's the polite thing to do. I'm telling my opponent that we had a good game. Even though, you know, it may not have gone in their favor, I still respect my opponent coming to the table and being there. And I know it's pretty easy to get tilted. I've gotten plenty of tilt in my days. But, you know, when I hear you guys say things like, you know, I get mad, I don't want to shake their hand, whatever, that's a very foreign concept to me. Because mm-hmm. to me, it's even though I'm not happy, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be respectful.
I guess I just find it interesting that not doing that is considered disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, the handshake is supposed to be, you know, a sort of way of saying, you know, even though we had our differences, we played this game, you know, the person who won for what's hopefully the best reasons, even though sometimes they don't seem like the best reasons, you know, things happen. And actually going back on the germ thing, as I sit here and sanitize my hands, I just noticed, I'm like, I just walked over to the hand sanitizer, put it on, and I'm walking back to my computer with my wireless headset.
Just talk about this made you feel dirty.
I know, right? It's like, oh, I feel so gross. My keyboard, oh, I'm so filthy. Just kind of reading through that thread, it was the whole, you have questions like, well, how do you draft if you don't want to touch other people? How do you let your opponent cut your deck or cut your opponent's deck, that sort of stuff. Kind of like what Renee was bringing up earlier with the whole allergy thing. Someone did it for her. But it's kind of a thing where if you're honestly germophobic, then that's one thing. But, you know, we don't know if it's the sort of case where people are like, oh, I'm OCD, and they're not clinically OCD. They just hate it when, like, you know, their sock is across the other side of the room or just something ridiculous, something not, you know, clinically OCD. But if you have a huge problem, you're honestly germophobic, you hate touching other people's anything whatsoever, then I understand not going for the handshake. And honestly, just explain yourself. Be like, sorry, I have a really bad problem with urns. I had a bad experience. It's nothing bad against you. You know, great game. Just that's something I'm just not comfortable with. And rational human beings will understand that. If they don't, whatever, that's not your problem that they can't handle a rational thought. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like, oh, I just don't like touching other people, sorry, and you walk away with your nose at like a 90-degree angle in the air, all snooty and prissy, then, you know, you're the type of person where after the event I'm going to be like, gee, I hope I never run into you ever again because you're rude. You're very rude. So...
I have to say that, Amanda, you know that you're a tilt monster when I hear what you said about the hand sanitizer, and I think, what a great way to throw shade at someone. Like, instead of just politely going, instead of politely doing what I do, where it's, no, thank you, I don't shake hands, the next time I'm playing somebody and I'm tilting, I should totally shake their hand and then immediately squirt some hand sanitizer. Like, what better way to say I don't like you?
Aaron, if I get paired against you, and you do that to me after a handshake, I'm telling you, girl. I mean, I know you already unfollowed me on Twitter, and I got word for you about that. But like, I think that's the end of the friendship. Like, I might even start telling people that your podcast is terrible. I rock your sticker on my deck box at major events. Like, if you did that to me, girl, I'd be tripping.
We would settle this like ladies. You would meet me in the parking garage at midnight.
I know. Right?
We would have a good time. It'd be a fun little tussle. No, but Renee, what do you think about all this?
I mean, we've discussed this before in forums where I've switched over from saying good game to saying well played, right, because it's taken a little less offensively by some people, where it's like, some people take it as sarcastic or, you know, so on and so forth. And people tend to be more receptive of it. I feel that you can still lose and play well. Yeah. You can win and have an awful game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well played is big in the LOL community, of which I love, the well played. And then also, now I forgot. Where'd it go? Ah, it disappeared. Somebody else, go.
I think just the problem that I've always had with those terms is that I feel like they're said now just to sort of be said. Like, one of the issues I had, like, I went on a tangent about this a month ago, was I played somebody who was playing Bant Hexproof. And this was, I was playing Jund at the time, and I think I was still getting the feel for Jund, so I wasn't really, you know, good at it yet. And he happened just to have that really god draw, that god hand, where it was like, you know, turn two Invisible Stalker, and, you know, Ethereal Armor, Rancor, Spectral Flight, call it a day. And I didn't do anything. Like, I genuinely contributed nothing. Like, I didn't draw my Duresses. I didn't draw my Lilianas. I didn't draw my Barter and Blood or anything like that.
Where were your Gaze of Granites?
I probably wouldn't have even been able to pull that off. But I genuinely didn't contribute anything to that match. And the second round didn't go much better either. And then he was like, good game. And I was just like, but it wasn't. Like, I didn't do anything. Like, you literally annihilated me. And then that's okay, I guess. But, you know, for him to say that when I really didn't do anything, it did feel kind of condescending to me. And it was just like, you know, I could see if I had done something where, you know, I made him sacrifice a creature and he came back from it, and I put up some semblance of a fight, but I did nothing other than cast a Hunt Master of the Fells, which did nothing for me. And I just felt like that was a little weird to say. And I didn't put up a good fight. And I don't feel that that was a good game, and that was something that I did get a little upset about, where we're saying it just to say it and not necessarily because it's true. So
yeah, exactly.
I just want to point out, Aaron, that if I meet you in real life and you do not shake my goddamn hand, I swear to God, I will come over that table and just scream at the top of my lungs, I will make you love me, as I'm rubbing your hand like against the side of my face or something.
Okay, so
I do not handle bad manners
at all. I'm going
to
have to write all this down.
I do not handle BM.
I'm going to have to write all this down. Okay, so if I play Renee, I can't touch her. I can't go anywhere in a 10-foot bubble of her. If I play Amanda, I have to sanitize.
But you have a 10-foot bubble, too.
That's true. Our bubbles will rub. That'll be fun. If I play Amanda, I have to sanitize beforehand. Otherwise, she'll meet me in the parking garage. And if I play Brittany, I have to remember to shake her hand. I need, like, a chart or a cheat sheet, because I'm not going to remember. I'm going to get it all screwed up. Like, I'll be playing Brittany, and I'll stay 10 feet away, and then she'll kill me. And then...
No, I'll just have a playmat, and I'll write on it, prepare your... something, like, equally as stupid, and just face it towards you, and the whole match just kind of look at you,
right?
And make little kissy faces.
And then I'll go to reach for Renee's hand.
And you'll have eaten tuna fish,
right?
And I'll just die.
Right, she'll die. I mean, I'm just going to screw this up.
We need logic trees.
Or we'll just have to do what they're doing on Twitter now with the blue lines. You know, like, Renee, blue line, dot, dot, dot. Don't go near. You know, Brittany, blue line, dot, dot, dot. Shake hand vigorously.
What are these blue lines? Am I this out of the loop? I'm so bad at everything.
Yeah, Twitter.
What happened? You're bad at life. You used to be, like, on top of everything, yeah. And now she's, like...
Work fucked me. Work... Where I put out the tweet about it, like, I'm going to cut slits in the back of my pants so that at least when work screws me over so hard, I don't have to pull my pants down anymore. I can keep working while I'm doing it.
What happened to being a lady, Brittany? Oh, my. Right?
Hey, I'm a fucking lady, all right?
Damn fucking right. We have now gone into debauchery mode.
Good game, Madam.
I mean, I'm
yeah, and she can just cut the whole part of this podcast. No big deal, right?
Hey, I've said some terrible things. People kind of like that. If the guys can do it, so can we. That's all I have to say. So,
what I love is that as Brittany is cursing and saying these things, is that there's this adorable picture of Rainbow Dash. So, and just like the same thing with Renee's picture is still her in her nice little princess dress, and it's like, oh my god. There's no context, and out of context, if someone heard this but looked at the pictures, they'd be very, very confused.
And that's the way we like them. So, ladies, if anybody has enjoyed what they've listened to here, how can they get a hold of you guys? Where can they find you? Talk about some of your upcoming projects, starting with Amanda.
Damn it. okay. You can find me still on Twitter, at SageGnosis. You can find me on Skype at Sage Gnosis. You can find me League of Legends Sage Gnosis. There's a trend here. If you Google search Sage Gnosis and it's not Amanda Stevens, please let me know so I can then go and beat this person. I've been denied Sage Gnosis once in the past 5 years, and that person got a very stern message over that forum. Oof. And then proceeded to get rid of their... and proceeded to hand Sage Gnosis back over to me.
Wow.
I'm very possessive over my internet handle. And you can currently find me working on my new blog project called toolshedoriginal.wordpress.com. I promise I will pay the like $12 to buy the domain handle to get rid of the .wordpress and look a little bit more professional. And hopefully Go Gamer Vogue will get back going. I don't know. Oh, and you can see me at New York Comic Con. That too. Okay. I'll be there.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on GG Vogue. I definitely enjoyed it when I was there, and I hope they do come back, because I think it's a good resource.
Read my website? But you unfollowed me on Twitter? I have conflicting emotions right now.
So, Renee, where can people find you? Moving on.
Well, you can find me on Twitter now. You guys convinced me. At MTGRayUnicorn. On Facebook, Renee Hupp. You can just send me an email, reithena@gmail.com. And then you can find my articles on mtgbrodeals.com. They have a nice little author section, so you can kind of browse through everybody. But my name is up there now. Jeebus fixed that for me. And my contact information is also on there in case I talk too fast. What do I have coming up? If anybody is going to Escapist Expo, which is the first weekend of October, so it's a little bit out. It's in Durham, North Carolina. I will definitely be there. It is my mini vacation. It is an awesome general gaming con, video games, tabletop, MTG weekend, all weekend. Nice. It costs like $40 for the whole weekend. It's great. There's about 4,000 people there. They have great panels, the whole nine yards. Would love to see people there, have people come up and talk to me. I randomly go up and talk to people and I don't even know who they are. As long as I have my 10-foot pole with me.
Now, wasn't there talk of you possibly starting a podcast at one point?
There was, and then with Legit kind of getting a lot of shifting around, that kind of got put on the back burner. And then, well, master's degrees are pains in the asses. Mm. Especially when you're taking 8-week courses so you can get everything done in a year and a half.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have about 10 to 15 page papers due every week.
Thanks.
So it's on the back burner for right now. There's still a lot of interest in what we were doing. Hopefully we'll get something put together and up somewhere between let's see here. When do I have off? I have off in December.
Oh.
I have off in December.
That's what, 3 months
you're
away?
Off in December. That means you need to come to GP Toronto.
Ooh. I am trying. I am trying to get something organized because I want to see you and Lansdell, and I don't even know who else is going to Toronto.
Oh, my God, that means we can go to the Mana Deprive party.
When is this?
The Mana Deprive parties are legit.
Wait, when is this?
Sweet!
Wait, when is this?
GP Toronto is November.
Last week
like,
of November.
Yeah.
It's November 28th through December 2nd, because like, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal, like all GPs.
Yeah, I can't make that one, so.
But Aaron, a Mana Deprive party.
Canadians!
I know, I'm as much
you
as...
You get to meet the Silent Assassin, and you get to meet Mr. Scotty Mac, like... Value.
Well, actually, all my vacation days for the rest of the year are spoken for, and I'm actually committed to the TCG Player Invitational in November, so I am completely sunk for the rest of the year. I really can't go anywhere for the rest of the year, but once January comes and my vacation time gets refreshed, I am happy to go to... I would really like to hit up Canada sometime, seriously. Just really bad timing now. Between me having to pay for Tifa and Mike's wedding and then the Invitational and all that stuff, there's just too much going on at the end of the year, so sorry. I know, right? So
and then there's also in November GP birthday party, also known as DC.
Oh, there we go.
Is that your birthday? Okay. Like I was
no,
going
it's,
anyway.
It's my husband's birthday and then it's Adrian's birthday that week.
I mean,
sometime.
But it's Trevor, and Trevor's just like a handsome beast of a man,
right?
Who I thought was like a female friend of yours, but like that's what happens to him all the time, so
cool. Yeah, I mean he's constantly mistaken for a girl and I am fine with that. I'm constantly mistaken for a man.
I'm sending him a heart right now on Facebook and not giving him a reason why.
That's no worse than what I've sent him.
He's kind of sitting next to me, semi-hearing what's going on.
Moving on. Brittany, where can people find you?
Hey. After listening to you guys, I feel so bad that I can't come up to D.C. or Canada. Although I loved Amanda's line of logic. She's like, come to D.C. I'm like, I can't. That costs a lot of money. She's like, okay, so come to Canada. I'm like, do you not know how a map works? Like, that's not how numbers work, Amanda.
She's the same way.
Anyway, so on Twitter, I'm still at GGBritt. On Facebook, I'm at GGBritStreaming. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And those are pretty much the two places to get a hold of me. I mean, they both go to my phone. I'm constantly on them, except when I have to work, which is all the time. So good luck getting a hold of me. But when you can, it's awesome.
Gotcha. So, well, this was a lot of fun, ladies. Thank you so much for agreeing to come back on the show. And I would like to do this regularly. So next season, if I'm, you know, just looking for a fun, breezy kind of show, hopefully you three will come back and join me and we can do this again. It seemed like it was really, really well received last time.
Hopefully we're as well received this time.
I think
I feel like we have expectations to live up to.
Right?
I love you're saying we were received, and I could just only think of me yelling, I will make you love me, as I'm like looking at the screen.
I just now have in my head go-go Power Rangers of some sort.
Do,
like,
do.
What? Yeah, like we need a theme song. We need our own theme song.
It's interesting how our minds
work. I'll get spruik on it.
It's interesting how our minds work because you thought of Power Rangers. I just thought of us doing karaoke and that song from Dreamgirls, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. And you're gonna love me.
I mean, I don't know if I want to wear one of those type of dresses, but okay.
You'd be fierce, Miss Stevens. And if anyone else is listening and you've enjoyed what you've heard here on the Deck Tees, you can always find me first and foremost on legitmtg.com. You can also find me on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to give me some stars or a thumbs up or a review. If you'd like, you can follow the show on Twitter at the Deck Tees, or you can follow me personally at Original Estrus. You can also email me directly at estrus@elitistjerks.com. Next week is going to be a very big week for me. It is going to be me and Mr. KYT from Mana Deprived. It's going to be a very good time. Amanda, you had him on your show. Hopefully I can.
Whispers of the Muse. Whoops, I should have plugged that. That seems like something I should plug.
A little bit. No big deal. This is my biggest project. Let me just not talk about it.
I mean, like it's like my biggest project with like the biggest like project woes. Like everything else I can control. I'm not that good at audio editing, and I'm not as lucky as you, Aaron, where I don't need it. Something always goes wrong, and a bunch of my episodes got kind of imploded because Real Evil Genius's Jason Clark's MacBook like imploded. So like you got to put your Durfington interview up before my Durfington interview. So like I was like, you know what, screw this.
Oh.
And then Lowry's also imploded.
Oh,
so
I honestly didn't know that you had them. Been...
Oh no, it's not this isn't a your fault thing. Like, these interviews were done last semester in the spring, and then, like, a lot of things happened. We just couldn't get them off the ground, so. Right.
So, well, hopefully my KYT can live up to yours, because I'll admit that you were the reason I didn't have him on, because, like, he'd been trying to get on my show for a while, and he's like, Aaron, have me on. I was like, well, you were just on Amanda's. Like, I don't want to steal her thunder. Like, let her enjoy you and all the buzz that you generated, and then I'll have you on. So, hopefully.
My episode was pretty legit, so you got some. Got some catching up to
do. Well, I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be fun. I'd like to have all the A-Team guys on at some point. I think there's more to them than meets the eye, so I'd like to think at some point I can drag them all on and get to know them a little bit better. So that's my goal. So next week's going to be a very big show. I also sent out some invites for some other big names, so hopefully they get back to me soon. And otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.